Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This morning, we're going to jump right into the Word. Is that okay? All right. Holy Spirit, thank you. Have your way, Lord. I love you. Love you, Abba. Thank you for your person, your power, and your presence here. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to be continuing along the lines of the series that we've been on, entitled Sure Foundation. Sure Foundation. And today, we're going to consider the reality called new. The reality called new. More than ever before, I think it's important that we are established in the truth of God as it concerns what He has done, what He performed and perfected in and through His Son Jesus. The reality to which we have been called now as God's children, being steadfast, being secure, being assured in who we are in God and who God is in us, in His power and His might. So we're going to delve into that and just see expressly from scriptures the particulars that have to do with our foundation. The specifics, a few specifics about the nature which we now have. The nature who we are in God based on faith in the person of Jesus, based on redemption. And last week we considered He takes knowing. And for a moment we were in Galatians in chapter 4, verse 6. And my review will delve in, go on, join in with the message today. He takes knowing. We were at Galatians in chapter 4, verse 6, which says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." And that word hearts, from the Greek, from the original, the word hearts in there is the word cardia. Cardia. And it's instructive to note this within the context and with the specific reference to this verse of scripture. K-A-R-D-I-A. In the Greek, from which in general terms, general parlance, we get examples, the words cardiac and cardio and things of that nature, things that relate to, have to do with the heart. And there's a specific nuance in the original, a specific nuance in the Greek, which is, and which defines cardia, which defines heart in this context, as the center and the seat of spiritual life. The center and the seat, S-E-A-T, of spiritual life. And as human beings, as men and women, boys and girls, as human beings, we need to keep in mind, keep before our hearts and contemplation, the fact and the truth that Man, in essence, is a tripartite being. Man is what? A three-part what? Being. And we see this in several portions in Scripture. An example would be in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 23. And we don't need to turn there, but in essence, man is what? Spirit. He has a soul, possesses a soul, does what? Dwells where? In a body, resides in a body. Or we can put that another way, man is spirit. He has a tent or a tabernacle or an earthen building, which is his what? Body. And possesses a soul as a result. Three part. And so, what would be considered as the center and seat of spiritual life in a being? That would be your spirit. With that in mind, with that understanding, once we take a look at the portion one more time, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into what? Into your hearts. Therefore, also implicated, implied into your what? Spirits, crying what? Abba. This, in essence, this in reality, this in truth, is the knowing. This is how you know God and are known of God by his Spirit, who dwells where? In you, in me. This is the knowing. This is the mark. This is the mark of ownership. This is the spirit of his Son in our hearts, the Spirit of his Son in our spirits. This is the knowing based on a mark of ownership. This is the emblem, if you will, of kinship, oneness with God, oneness with his Spirit. This is the hallmark. This is the seal of sonship. His Spirit within you. It is the sending of his Spirit into your hearts. It is the sending of his Spirit into your spirit that makes you a child of God, that makes you a son and daughter of the Most High. Not just son, any old kind of son, but when you think about it, when you take a moment to think about it, a child of the Most High God, the Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one of whom it is said, heaven is his throne and the earth his footstool. The great I am, God Almighty, that you are a child of the living God, a son of the Most High. And on the basis of his Spirit now in your heart, now in my heart, we cry. There's a cry, there's a heart posture now, spirit to spirit, the tendency, the inclination of who you are based on the reality who you are in your spirit is toward God by that self-same Spirit. In worship, if you like, in adoration, there's an inclination, there's an affinity, there's a oneness now, there's a closeness now, there's a unity now. Put another way, let me try and put this another way. What we see in Galatians in chapter 4, verse 6 is a nod to and touches on is, let me use this, is the same when we consider salvation. That is, how or when does the Spirit then come to indwell you? The Spirit of the living God. When you believed. Jesus. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 17. We know it well. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. He's a new creation. Not refashioned, not refurbished, not rehabilitated by his spirit. He's what? He's a new creation. And the sense in the originals paints this, portrays this. Altogether new, based on the tandem with God, unprecedented. Brand new. Why? Because the Spirit of the living God infused, and for those yet to come, it infuses the life of God into your spirit, and then comes and dwells, reside in you, in your spirit, which is the real you, who's the new creation or new creature. And in that same felt swoop, he seals you so that you are in him and he in you, one with Abba himself. New. So based on that spirit, your spirit, keep in mind the body and your soul remains in what state? It calls for your soul and your body needs to come into concert with your spirit within, so that that posture to Godward, that tendency and inclination, that thirst for the Lord, that penchant for him, that desire for him, that press for him is so real, and it comes from within. Deep to deep, and so there needs to be a partnership so that you engender praise, so that you worship springs forth from your heart, so that thanksgiving emanates from the deepest part of your soul, your spirit, in holy communion, contemplation, conversation with the Father himself, in the place of prayer, with more specificity to tongues, to worship, to praise. You're open to the Lord in sincerity and truth. What you need, all you need is on the inside. That spirit is the perfect spirit within. The new creation, which I keep saying, in truth, is the real you, is the real me. In order to be consistent in that position of closeness, oneness with God, intimacy and relationship with him, it is important that we get rooted and grounded in what we've been called to, who we have been made in God, as sons and daughters of the Most High, what we have been made, who he is in us, the might and the power. Because in truth, no one here sitting looking at me is ordinary. And I say that again, no one here sitting down looking at me right here, right now is ordinary. Because if you know Jesus, if you are born again, if you have divine life within you, if you have the seed, any kids, no kids, if you have the sperma of God inside you, you are not ordinary. By sperma, I mean seed. He's very live. How do you see yourself? How do you carry yourself? With what conviction? action. Need to appreciate the blessedness to which we have been called. If we're going to be effective in our witness, if we're going to be effective in these times, in these, you know, in these last of last days, if we're going to be effective in our witness, then it's important, it's pertinent, it's germane that we know without a shade of doubt who we are. So that there's no confusion. When things start to occur, when people start coming in, or in fact with the vibes now currently pervading the land and the world over, whereby falsehood is now elevated to a position, a status of, oh, this is truth, and the truth of God. Many want to consign to the annals of the past. But guess what? The word of God endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel we get to preach, which by the gospel we get to teach, which by the gospel we get to show and display. Because you may be the only Jesus in truth that your neighbor, or the person at your job, or the person at your school, or the person at the store may come in contact with, as far as flesh and flesh is concerned. But you have the greater one residing on the inside. Now let's see a few things concerning this foundation that we have, that is this new nature in our life. Let's turn to Romans in chapter 5. Let's see if we can make progress this morning. Make some progress. Romans in chapter 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. From verse 1. Says, therefore, having... Oh, I love... Friends, when I read the word, I love the tenses. I love the past tense, and if anyone knows me, I love the past tense reality of God's word. By that, I don't mean that God's word is not relevant to us as his kids. God's word, wait till next week. God's word is ultra relevant, if I may put it that way. But by the past tense of God's word, I mean the revelation of the done reality of his word, based on what Christ Jesus did. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Can I pick it apart a little bit? Just a little. Time constrains us. Time constrains when it comes to the word. But as I keep saying in the classes, just keep pressing in prayer, in the word. Give yourself over completely. Just be sold out to Jesus, for Jesus. Be sold out completely. We can't be half-hearted or measured and, you know, am I giving myself, is there a complete surrender in this thing? Pour yourself. Prayer without ceasing. The word without ceasing. That is C-E-A-S-I-N-G. All right. Having been justified by faith, so by faith we've been what? Justified. By faith in the person of Jesus, we have been what? Justified. What does that mean? What does justified mean? It means that, for example, you've been adjudged not guilty. Adjudged not guilty. There's no guilt apportioned to you based on the new nature you have with him, based on your position in God. Having been adjudged guilty, it means you are free. That means, AKA, or put another way, no penalty. Did I say that? Yes, I said that. And I'm unashamed it's best we say it as it is, so that let's get it. Let's really get it. Let's get it in our hearts. Let's be solidified in this thing. Let's stand. That's how we're going to be unshaken and unmoving when things start to happen. You think things are happening already, right? It's also the same expression that means declared righteous, made righteous, justified by faith. One, justified. Two, we have what? Peace. With who? With God. And this is not, doesn't reference or talk about, oh, peace. We have peace in our hearts. This primarily is talking about peace with God in the sense of having been what? Reconciled to Him in and made one. Based on what Jesus did, because it's through Christ Jesus. In Isaiah it says the chastisement for our what? Peace was what? Upon Him. For our peace. That brought peace between us and God, because one time we were alienated and separated from His life, from His person, from His, we were separated. But now there's peace, there's harmony. There's harmony. And in that harmony, it's good to know, based on our foundation, it's good to know, based on our new nature, that you are accepted in the Beloved. Don't let anything, situation, or circumstance try to tell you different. I don't care what it is. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have what? Access. Number three, access. By virtue of the new nature, we have now what? We have access. Wow. Unfettered access, unrestricted access, unrestrained access to Abba. Based on oneness, and there's no guilt, no shame, no feelings of insecurity that way that should hinder your relationship and concert with the Lord, that is fellowship with Him. We have access. Man, I could talk about access still. For example, my little man, whether my little son, he's 4 years old. Now, whether he's seen me in the morning or not, whether he's given me 100 minus one hugs or not, and I'm, oh, daddy, I love you, and I love you too, son. With that big grin and smile on his face, and whether he's seen me or not, he'll dash right up front here and still say, hey, daddy, and still give a hug. I say, oh, okay, for 100 or for the 101st and what? But he's not, there's no, it's unfettered access. It's unrestricted. It's not restrained. It's free. And it's, the basis is love. You have that. All that business, for example, this is an aside, complete aside, but for example, all that business of running away, if there's ever such a thing, from God in the sense of just pulling away and not wanting to draw near as He desires, based on the fact that He's Spirit. Stop that. He's not penalizing you. He's not. Casting you forth, casting you away. He's not. Draw near. Draw nigh. We have access by faith into this grace wherein what? We stand. So our standing, our plane of existence is what? Is on grace, in grace. By grace we are saved. Right? Not of works. Let me say this, because I need to move on. By grace we're saved does not mean, oh, okay, it's by grace to get in, and so once we get in, then it's free for all. It's about other things. No, it's by grace from start to finish, from grace to grace, from faith to faith, in the grace of God. So it's not that our works will then now do some things to make you appear or seem more comely in the sight of God, or to make you more accepted than you are. He's accepted you. He's loved you irrevocably. He
rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, because of time, we'll skip verses 3 and 4, but I want us to take a look at that in our private moment. It's instructive for these times. Verse 5. It says, now, concerning this hope, it says what? Hope does what? Does not what? Disappoint, or hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was what? Given to us. How is the love of God poured out in our hearts? How? Two quick points in that regard. Number one, which I'll term, number one, in the process, number one is the process, and number two is the substance. God's love poured out in our hearts, emptied out in our hearts. The process and the substance. In the process, what do I mean? If you take the next two or three verses in there, it explains exactly what it means by love of God is poured out in your heart. So in the process, we're looking at in love. God reached out to humanity. God reached out to mankind and sent what? Sent his son Jesus. In love, he sent his son Jesus to deal with the sin question once and for all, to deal with the state of humanity, which was steeped in sin. In love, he gave his son. He paid the price so that by faith in him, we could what? Draw nigh with boldness and say yes and be kins, K-I-N-S, one with the Father. So in the process is we see his love demonstrated. And then he sent his Spirit. Jesus referred to him as the Spirit of truth. Jesus himself being the truth. The process. What about the substance? The Holy Spirit himself given to you. Himself coming to indwell your hearts, himself coming to indwell your spirit, is the love of God poured out. Himself. So in the substance, that is, how else can I put that? In the reality. So let me put it this way. Herein is love. This is love. I'm giving you my Holy Spirit as a seal and a guarantee of my eternal love for you. I'm giving you my Spirit as a seal and as a guarantee of my eternal love for you. So that he now living, dwelling, abiding, reigning in your heart is my love poured out. Therefore, you're now my son. Therefore, you're now my daughter. You now have the divine nature of Abba residing within you. You now have the rights, the full rights, not just any old rights, the full rights of sonship. Yours. With power, with authority, in victory, and much more. What blessedness. This is the reception of the abundance of grace. I'm just qualifying it now. The abundance of grace received in verse 17. Were we there? We were at Romans 5, right? Let's look at verse 17. Romans 5. This is it in a nutshell. Descriptive. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through one. Come on now, friends, church. Saints, much more those who receive what? Abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Love, his Spirit, his life, his power in you. Friends, I'm looking at this, and I go through this, and I see this on the constant, And I'm thinking to myself, what bounty? What bounty? What blessedness? I didn't have to work to achieve this or work to get this or whatnot. This is what? This is grace. This is amazing grace. That which has to do with the new on the inside. Doesn't matter what day or whatever. In you is still what is what? The new what? New creation. You are the new creation. This is the abundant life Jesus talked about in John 10. We don't need to turn. Don't turn. I talked about bounty. This is like an abundance. Jesus said, I am come to do what? To give them what? Life. And that what? More. Abundantly more. Amplified puts it this way. I came that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it what? Overflows. The benefits of salvation are supposed to. The benefits of salvation, and we don't just talk about the benefits of soteria, the benefits of salvation. These benefits are supposed to characterize our lives. Because there's been an impingement. That is, there's been an impact upon our very spirit by divine life, by the very spirit of living God. And we're supposed to walk in victory. This is not just about mouthing it. Or say, oh, I'm this. But we're supposed, those realities, the realities concerning salvation that we talk about and see and study and in God's word, supposed to be evident in our lives in manifestation. As it concerns tangible. This is what we are called to. And we're supposed to enjoy richly in Christ Jesus. But the enemy doesn't want that. The enemy really won't have that. Because it says in John 10, where I just mentioned, it says, the thief does what? Comes to what? To steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy. Praise God. Once and for all, by faith in Christ Jesus, we were delivered from his domain and translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love, Jesus Christ. The things that accompany salvation ought to trail our lives, and it bears giving our hearts over to, our minds over to. So that the essence of salvation rings true in our lives. So that if it says by salvation you are delivered, then deliverance and the state of being delivered holds true, rings true in your life. If it says by salvation you are preserved, it means that you are kept by the power of God. It means that you are shielded, protected, and guarded by him in safety. So that if salvation says you are healed in and by Christ Jesus, his death, his cross, if it says you're, then it means that healing and health holds sway where? In your life. So that if it says, oh, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then righteousness emanates, flows from your life, in your daily walk, in your daily living. Righteousness, yes. Someone says, oh, if the foundation says, you are sanctified, then it means that holiness rings true in your life. Doesn't ring hollow or is amiss or in your walk, in your living, in your life, in your existence. It doesn't ring hollow. It rings what? True. Friends, I don't have time, but we can go through the book, we can go through the word and see, especially based on the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we can see how, for example, let's take being sanctified, the word tells us that you are sanctified, that you're set apart and have been made holy. Someone said, did I say that? Yes, I did. Now, you've been made holy. you want to go to Hebrews 10:10? Do you want to go to 1 Corinthians 6:9? I don't want to give the scripture so it doesn't feel like there's an overload, but it is true. Can we default to God's word? 1 Corinthians 2, for example. I'm going to stop looking at it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm just going to stop. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. To the church of Corinth, those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, because to be is italicized, so in the originals and from other versions, you see called saints. So because you're in Christ Jesus, you're called a saint, and that is kind of clear because you were, when you believed in him, you were what? Washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of the living God. Now, you didn't do the cleaning, you didn't do the washing up, he did. By his Spirit, he made you holy. He made you holy. Man, I feel like I can shout. He made you holy. Hebrews 3:1. Hebrews in chapter 3, verse 1. Put it down. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. I like Amplified. Wherefore, holy brothers and sisters, those who share in the heavenly calling, in calling you, saving you, in redeeming you, he made you holy. And that's why for many years, right at the hotel, and sometimes here, I come forward here at House on the Rock Church, and I said it, I'm saying it loud, House on the Rock Church, and it's on the recording. Nothing radical for Jesus. That is in these times. Our mouths, we must not keep silent. Our mouths must not be stopped. I'd come here and say, good morning, saints. And I'd have a few respond, and some would give me quizzical looks and back at the hotel and whatnot. Oh, saints? But who's a saint here? Who's a saint? Is that you, brother? But I wanted to hear a loud acclaim. Everyone say, hallelujah! Good morning, saints. And say, good morning, pastor. Good morning, brother. Yes. Because guess what? That is not the time to then have an inward check or a self-check and say, oh, in driving in this morning, I probably said one or two words that shouldn't have emanated from my mouth, shouldn't have come out from my mouth. Or, oh, I said something not so nice to my sweetheart and told her she could go to... I'm not going to mention it. So that's not the moment to do a self-check. And if perchance you do a self-check, then what you should really see is the perfect Spirit within you, who has been made holy by God himself. So that when I come up here, when I come up here and say in worship, I say, friends, lift up holy hands. I want every... We're not going to be telling them because of the way they look and the things that they do, all their persuasions, like politically, lifestyle, all of that. We're not going to tell them about, oh, change this, change that. Present Jesus. We give life. Jesus, by his Spirit, gives them life. And we present the message in love. Speaking the truth in love. It doesn't mean we start accepting things. There's more happening by the Holy Spirit. Share more. I remember. Permit me, just sometime. I remember all those years ago in 1996. After that Christmas service, December. Came out of the church because it was a Christmas. The youth did a program, and I came out of that church, and that brother, his name was Chuba, with his glasses this thick, glasses. He came on to me. I said, "Hey, brother, do you know Jesus?" I stepped back, looked at him. I said, "Nope."
know me? Do you know me?
And who was I?
Nobody.
Dead in sins. Not in the practical sense, because I could have told you I'm a good, goodly person. But how many know it has nothing to do with being good or goodly?
Permit that word, because someone says, is that in the dictionary? Okay. It's not about all of the things, some of the things that get looked at. It's about, it's the principle of divine life within. Do you have his spirit? Remember, God knows them that are his. It's on the basis of the spirit. He knows. He knows. He knows. Are you his? Are you his? Are you his? So we don't major in the minor. We stay with the major, who is Christ Jesus. We stay with redemption. We stay with the gospel. And guess what? We see change. I had a fear. Oh, man. Okay. I had a fear at the time. I told him, brother, let me deal with my ways, change my ways. Then I'll come to Jesus. He said, no, sir. Believe on time. Believe the gospel. And those things you see over time, I mean, instantly over time, however it is, but because you're now one with him, change and transformation comes. Yes.
Amen.
So we are unashamed, and it's going to be by the gospel. And our conviction will be discernible because we'll either be standing on the truth of God's word, who we are in him, who he's been made, who he is in us, in might, in power, in victory, or we're going to be like, I don't know, is this a lie, is this not, no, you have his spirit, you're led of his spirit, and you go out in faith, proclaiming truth, and truth alone. You rise, every soul, let's just rise up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I'll continue next time. Give him glory, just, Father, thank you. Magnify you. Thank you, Lord, for this new life. Wow. Thank you, Father, for your divine life. Thank you, Father, because it's you who works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you, Father, for having equipped us by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Because we shine as lights in these times. And we do not cower. We choose not to be timid. We choose to be militant in love. Thank you, Abba, for your peace in our hearts. If there's anyone here, you don't know Jesus. You are not born again. You don't have the Spirit of the living God dwelling within you. Or you just don't have that assurance, as the case is. Please come forward this morning. I'm going to remain up front. And I say this, if you're here and you have a challenge, habit-wise, receive counsel today. Don't leave the same way you came. I'm going to remain up front. It's for a reason, it's for cause. Father, thank you. Thank you. If you're here and it's the joy of salvation that is kind of evasive, it's kind of missing, there's just something off, come forward this morning. Father, thank you for who you are, the reality of your person in our lives. We love you, Lord. We adore you. Give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Lord, for transformed hearts and minds based on your truth. Thank you, Father, because we all have a glorious and prosperous week. Thank you, Father, because we are victorious.
Yeah, amen.
Sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Amen.
We're overcomers in this life, more than conquerors. And Father, we just say we love you. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name. Friends, saints, have an awesome week, and you are all blessed. Amen.